listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
My black face fades, hiding inside the black granite. I said I wouldn't, damn it, no tears. I'm stone, I'm flesh. My clouded reflection eyes me like a bird of prey, the profile of night slanted against morning. I turn this way, the stone lets me go. I turn that way, I'm inside the Vietnam Veterans Memorial again, depending on the light to make a difference. I go down the 58,022 names, half expecting to find my own in letters like smoke. I touch the name Andrew Johnson. I see the booby traps white flash, name shimmer on a woman's blouse, but when she walks away, the name stay on the wall. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast, your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on Sunday ready to do some podcasting, y'all.
We are.
Mm-hmm. Let's get out here and get in these podcasting streets to talk about things. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Blackout Tips, leave us 5-star reviews. We really do love when you guys do that. It makes our days. We got so many yesterday. It was so good. We appreciate everybody takes time out.
Yes.
To do that. You can also do stuff like go to theblackouttips.com, vote in the polls, leave comments, leave us emails, theblackouttips@gmail.com. Leave voicemails, 2 minutes or less, 704-557-0186. Just leave us a voicemail, 704-557-0186, 2 minutes or less. There is a timer. It will cut your ass off.
Yeah, you be talking and next thing you know, you're not no more.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball. Extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. We have a couple audio play albums out. I feel like we tell you about them every week, this week being no exception. The name of them, you can find them on Spotify, you can find them on Tidal, you can find them on Apple Music, you can find it on Amazon. The name of the albums are Sunspot and Other Ratchetness and The Best of Rod and Karen. Go find those, go check them out, leave us reviews, listen to them, let us know what you think, guys. We appreciate y'all taking the time out to do that.
Yes.
All right, guys, let's talk about the news, okay? All kinds of stuff is happening in the news, and we talks about it. That's what we do, guys. So yesterday was the March for Our Lives. A lot of kids showing up and showing out. Very well organized event.
It was.
Went off without a hitch. A lot of marginalized voices getting to speak. Like whoever's working with these kids and whether behind the scenes or whatever, whoever they've gotten with or just if they've come up with it on their own.
Very diverse.
These kids are extremely well organized and smart.
Yes, they are.
And they definitely seem like the types to to either have learned a lot from social media and stuff or to gotten with people that organized behind the scenes and they're good at that kind of stuff. And whoever's art organizing it, if it's not the kids, is because I mean it's such a big deal, I'm imagining there's adults involved. Those people, also props to them because they're staying out of it and behind the scenes,
which is the best thing to do because it's not about you. Be like, hey, the I can see the kids saying these are the things you want to accomplish, and that's cool, we help you accomplish those things. Like, we're here to assist, we're not here to take over. A lot of adults have a tendency to want to take over shit when you're not the voice of the child. The child needs to be able to speak for them, you know, because these are children. The children have these voices, they have these views, and just let them be. And I think, too, I guess in my opinion, I do like to put like this. Things have changed so much, even how people promote themselves for student council president and all that stuff. You know, a lot of that stuff's probably online now. So a lot of them have already been prepared slowly for running and being in the spotlight. Not all of them, you know, in some shape, form, or fashion, because something as small, quote unquote, as a student council is big time, you know, to somebody running for those positions. So like you said, social media has taught them to be more social savvy, and you have to.
Well, it's not like these kids could have been prepared to do this.
Correct.
I mean, nobody knows that someone's going to shoot up their school. And 3 weeks later, you're on national TV giving speeches and shit. You know, people looking to you for hope for the future and solutions and political activism and shit. I mean, it's a hell of a situation to be in,
yes,
you know,
and
especially
is.
In today's limelight where people consider attention to be currency. So, you know, there's the jealousy you got to deal with. There's the, yeah, you're 11 years old, but when you gave your speech, you didn't consider this angle of it, 11 year old. So, you know, like, there's that. And then you got just, and those are the people on your side, quote unquote.
Right.
Then you got a bunch of people that are actively like, we don't want your ass there. You're fucking up the gun money. You're fucking up the gun lobbyist it. I'm just here to tell you how fucking stupid and terrible kids are, and they shouldn't even be allowed to speak. So you got all these people coming at you, and you know, hopefully you got more people being vocally on your side and supporting you.
Correct.
Than detracting from you. But you know, it's still like all this attention. I know I at that age I wasn't ready to deal with that shit, you know. I know there were kids that got up there, like one of them got up there and threw up halfway through her speech, and then she finished her speech. There was a little black girl who was only 11 who gave a great speech about, you know, all the black girls and black people that have been killed by gun violence, and you know, it's not, you know, like these lives are also taking my guns. And there was a lot of people, you know, well, what does this have to do with, you know, the Parkland shooting? And it's like, well, the march is for against gun violence. You know, one of the dudes from the Beatles was out there because his homeboy died from gun violence, and it fucked up the whole group, like, right. But it fucked up, you know, he lost a friend to this shit, you know. So it's, you know, but there's also like, when you talk about gun violence, you're stepping into a debate that's been going on for a long time, and people already had their camps, people had their talking points. And you don't want to stigmatize mental illness. You don't want to put too much of the power in the state because you have to deal with systemic racism and shit. I don't know how these kids handle that at that age, because I wouldn't have been able to. You know what I mean? I would have just been saying shit and been in the, I would have been on MSNBC saying something wild, and y'all would have been like, cancel this 14-year-old, you know? But props to those kids, and like I said, the organizers behind who helped them along the way as well, because like I said, it hasn't even become about those people, whoever they are.
And bigger than that, shout out to their parents or the guardians in their lives for even allowing them to do that, because there's some parents that be like, yeah, I know you hurt, but fuck that, you're not going on TV. I don't want you to be like some parents are really staunch on, I don't want my child to be thrust into things like this.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand parents being like, nah, you know, to a certain extent, but this is their movement and their lives are now on the front line. So I feel like we don't really get to tell them, nah.
You'll be amazed how many parents will still be like, you ain't gonna do this.
Oh, I'm not amazed. I'm not disagreeing with you, Karen.
Okay.
I'm saying if I was a parent, correct, and I felt any kind of way about the idea of my kid having to deal with all this shit, their lives are literally the ones on the line here.
Correct.
So I feel like, you know, for us to put our shit on top of, this is all because we as a generation couldn't handle our shit.
Right.
So now you got this kid, you know, these kids, giving, speeches at March for Our Lives, that is essentially, it's a huge mark of failure on the American system.
It is.
So, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying, no parents should feel like that. I'm saying parents, no matter how these parents feel, the ball's now in these kids' court because we don't do what we're supposed to do.
Right. And so, you know, I applaud the children, and I applaud the parents that allowed them to do that, because some parents, I understand the parents' job is to protect, but like you say, this is something that's directly impacting these children's lives. Not that it doesn't directly impact the adults' lives, but the adults are coming from a completely different perspective than these children.
Yeah, no, the school, you know, like, the other thing is, like, a lot of the kids that weren't white got erased in the whole coverage of the shit, but the white kids have stayed on message and been aware of the erasure and been, like, actively being like, hey, this is fucked up. Y'all are asking us particular questions on purpose. Our school is 25% black. The only place I saw a black kid interviewed about this that went to the school, The Daily Show, with Trevor Noah. So shout out to Trevor Noah and The Daily Show for doing the work that I guess other mainstream outlets didn't really do that well. Unless you gotta wait till the weekend and see what Joy Reid's talking about, you know, like, there's very few spaces where I feel like black people can go for our news where our perspective is considered or centered. So, but yeah, shout out to The Daily Show. That was, I didn't realize until I was watching the interview, I was like, wait, I didn't even see a black kid in any of this coverage that I've seen of the shooting stuff. And yeah, that, and shout out to that black kid, because he was the one who said, I don't want teachers to have guns because I'm black and I'm in the South and they might shoot me. I'm like, yes, that is what black people think. Or it gets erased from the conversation unless you make an effort to talk to those black kids.
Yes, and I am I'm glad, like you said,
Elementary school on the 14th.
Sorry, I don't know what, I don't know why that
my name is,
there we go. All right, I think that fixed it. Go ahead.
Okay, and also I am glad that a lot of the white people that are coming forward and speaking, because white people gonna white, but there are some a percentage of white people that have came forth and actually went to, I forgot, it was a young man who actually went to, like, he spoke in front of black people and he was talking to them about the march and how it affects them and things like that. So it's one of those things where a lot of these children realize it's bigger than just their situation. A lot of them have, things have been brought to the forefront, have been brought to their attention, that has challenged them to realize that it's actually bigger than us, mm-hmm. and what we're doing. And I'm glad.
Now, what is that? Can you explain a little more in detail what happened? You say he was talking to black people. What happened?
Yes. I've been seeing a post going on or online about this white boy who actually, I don't know if it was an organization or a church, but he was speaking to a group of black people and he was saying that he has been seeing them being left out and black people have been affected too. And he was speaking on behalf and like saying that they should be included and things like that. Like I said, I didn't really get into it, but from my pieces, you know, if somebody else knows more detail than that, let me know. And so I've been seeing them reach out to minority groups and things like that, you know, and like you say, with the diversity of the speakers, and it was a lot of black groups that actually went out and participated in the march. I've seen a lot of people, pictures of young men and women on buses traveling and with adults, you know, to participate in these marches in various cities. So it's something that I'm glad it brought a lot of people together in this situation, because like you say, the march was about gun violence, not just white children dying, but just gun violence, period.
Yeah, gun violence shit touches us all.
Correct.
You know, black people.
Somebody said David Hogg is his
yeah,
name?
I just searched for it.
Okay.
Black people, whether it's in our communities, without our communities, when police kill us with guns, you know, even like the suicide, you know, things like this, like the, you know, people talk about mental health issues, but people with mental health issues are actually more likely to be killed by a gun. You
yes,
know,
they are.
So like, this literally could save lives. And I know one of the things people keep bringing up is no one's trying to take your guns, they're trying to get sensible gun ownership. I'm not in that group of people. I do think we should give up all the guns. The countries that have done so don't have these things happening,
and that's a fact.
Their kids go to school,
statistics say that
their kids go to school and their kids don't have to take drills to live. And if that makes me the crazy person, I'll be the crazy person, because that's the only actual solution to all this. Everything else is like an acceptable compromise of a solution, where kids and people will still continue to die in large numbers in America because these guns are already out there and they exist and y'all aren't taking them back. So even if you stop right now, we're still, what we would be saying is, okay guys, look, if we say it tonight, no more selling new guns, cool. We still had the same amount of killing as we always have because the guns still exist and the guns aren't going anywhere. So, you know, but I feel people though, you know, I know what I'm saying is not the thing that people would listen to. So I get it. Anyway, here's the speech by Naomi Wadler. She's only 11.
It's Naomi and I'm 11 years old. Me and my friend Carter led a walkout at our elementary school on the 14th. We walked out for 18 minutes, adding a minute to honor Cortland Arrington, an African-American girl who was the victim of gun violence in her school in Alabama after the Parkland shooting. I am here today to represent Cortland Arrington. I am here today to represent Hadia Pendleton. I am here today to represent Tiana Thompson. who at just 16 was shot dead in her home here in Washington, D.C. I am here today to acknowledge and represent the African-American girls whose stories don't make the front page of every national newspaper. Whose stories don't lead on the evening news. I represent the African-American women who are victims of gun violence, who are simply statistics instead of vibrant, beautiful girls that pull up potential. It is my privilege to be here today. I am indeed full of privilege. My voice has been heard. I am here to acknowledge their stories, to say they matter, to say their names, because I can, and I was asked to be. For far too long, these names, these black girls and women, have been just numbers. I'm here to say never again for those girls, too. I am here to say that everyone should value those girls, too. People have said that I am too young to have these thoughts on my own. People have said that I am a tool of some nameless adult. It's not true. My friends and I might still be 11, and we might still be in elementary school, but we know. We know life isn't equal for everyone, and we know what is right and wrong. We also know that we stand in the shadow of the Capitol, and we know that we have 7 short years until we too have the right to vote. So I'm here today to honor the words of Toni Morrison. If there is a book that you want to read, but it hasn't been written yet, you must be the one to write it. Everyone here and everyone who hears my voice to join me in telling the stories that aren't told. To honor the girls, the women of color who were murdered at disproportionate rates in this nation. I urge each of you to help me write the narrative for this world and understand so that these girls and women are never forgotten. Thank you.
So that was her speech. 11 years old.
Wow.
Right? Like, but yeah, it's like some of the things that have come out of there, it's been so good to see, because you do have people that like I said, like a march like this, in my mind, I think most of us are like, and it'll probably just be these white kids and that'll be it, you know, especially the whole thing with the white mamas crying their tears, da 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 da. But it wasn't the parents, it wasn't, you know, it was like the kids and the kids' vision, whether it's organized or whatever, whoever helped, but the kids' vision was much more inclusive, I think, than a lot of people even thought it was gonna be. So, you know, good for them. And like I said, they'll still be held up to scrutiny because nothing's perfect, so they'll still, I'm sure if I search enough, there'll be people that are like, fuck them kids, or they fucked this up, or they left that out. What I do know is armed white men showed up to intimidate the kids with like AR-15s and shit. Just showed up to the march. Like there's a side of this that really is people thinking that they are their own demographic of Americans, like armed Americans, the same way we have Afro-Americans or Latino-Americans or whatever, like, it's, I'm an armed American motherfucker, like, y'all discriminating against me and my right to own this weapon. So yeah, these white men, mostly white men, showed up armed with guns and shit, overlooking the march, you know, trying to intimidate these people. There's nothing more pathetic than people like this, but at the same time, it says a lot about our country that we allow this shit. So yeah, they just showed up with guns and shit.
I have a question. Do you have the you might not have it, but the speech that what's the other dude, David Hall? Yeah, you have that speech.
He has a couple speeches out. Is it from the march or is it from another day or what?
I didn't know he spoke at the march. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know, because he has a few speeches out. I don't want to just click on random speeches, but if y'all give me more context than that or put a link in the chat to it, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I think he's been speaking a few times since this thing happened, which is like 3 weeks ago. So, you know, when I look on here, it's a few.
Okay. I can, let me go dig real quick.
Okay. So yeah, that's that was interesting to see, you know, and I'm glad that people were able to hear like a bunch of different voices and a bunch of kids talking, you know. Like, I don't know what's gonna move the needle forward on this conversation, and I don't expect this necessarily to be it, but I don't know, it's got to be better than what the fuck everybody else has been doing. Come you on. know. Black Lives Matter, by the way, has called the NRA a terrorist organization.
And that's what they are.
And yeah, because the NRA filed a lawsuit to raise the age to buy guns. The Black Lives Matter movement slammed the National Rifle Association on Friday after the group filed a lawsuit against the Florida legislation that could raise the age to buy rifles to 21. Civil Rights Organization retweeted the Associated Press and called the NRA a terrorist organization. The NRA's decision to file the lawsuit comes after Florida Governor Rick Scott signed off on the Senate Bill 7026 in the wake of Parkland school shooting, when a 19-year-old entered Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School with an AR-15 rifle and killed 17 people. This bill punishes law-abiding gun owners for the criminal acts of a deranged individual. Executive Director of the NRA Institute for Legislative Action, Chris W. Cox, said, securing our schools and protecting the constitutional right of Americans are not mutually exclusive. So, I'm not surprised that that was the one they sued about either. Like, of course. All the other shit, they was, give the teachers guns, just, you know, that's cool. Whoa, 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 someone might buy less guns. I don't think so. Those are important gun buying years, them 3 years between 18 and 21. When the NRA issued a public call to their constituents inciting violence against people who are constitutionally fighting for their lives, we don't take that lightly, said Black Lives Matter LA member Funmilola Fagbamila. Okay. In response.
I found the one.
Okay.
So where you want me posted in the chat?
Sure.
Okay, paste.
All right. I'll get right on that. Give me 1 second.
No problem.
The NRA issued a public call. Black Lives Matter activists also slammed the NRA for not responding to the death of Philando Castile.
Come on.
Which, you know, we knew was, you know what that was. As always. So yeah, they just basically ignore when anything black happens. You know, the kid that got killed in Sacramento, the cop said he had a gun.
In no way, shape, or form.
They thought he had a gun, but he had a phone. But what if he was a legally registered gun owner? They still could have killed him? It's not like they knew that when they pulled the trigger.
It don't matter.
Yeah, it just don't matter. Like, your right to have a gun is just not the same. So, your black right to have a gun has just never been a thing. The only time the NRA has sided against gun with gun legislation that would restrict guns is during the Black Panther days, when black people were trying to arm themselves or protect themselves against police.
Come on.
So alright, here's the speech you sent me.
So we're here today in D.C. Not only for our march, but to make sure that each and every single American that's out here that has been affected by gun violence, that has had that have seen the loss of their brothers, their sisters, their mothers, their parents, and their boyfriends too. We've seen again and again the media focus on school shootings and oftentimes be biased towards white privileged students. Many of these communities are disproportionately affected by gun violence, but they don't get the same share of media attention that we do. It's important as people of the American society and people in the media recognize this inequality and that we work to solve it. First, though, we must call it out, and we must call it for what it is, and that's racial biasness towards us and many other people that's not only in the media, but is in our society, too, as a whole. It's only through working together as Americans and coming together that we will solve this solution, and that is why we need a unified front with each and every person. Today here in D.C., hearing the stories of so many people that have been affected by gun violence, especially in an amazing place like D.C., where you would think, where children, brothers, sisters, and so many others that are the future of our country are dying, you would think that these politicians would take action and not just make empty promises like I've heard they've done in the past and that they've done with us too, but actually take action, not only for us, but for the future of America and D.C. and children everywhere. What we need to realize, though, is so long as we have this unified front and we come together stronger as Americans and we work together to solve this and we hold our politicians accountable, we must continue to do so because, in all honesty, they do not care if we do not get out and vote. If we do not stand up and make our voices heard as Americans, they will not take action. We have to make our voices heard. I want to make sure that these students, too, get their chance to speak because their voices are just as important as mine because no matter what your race, creed, ethnicity, religion, or class, at the end of the day, we're all Americans and we all suffer the same. We all bleed the same red blood. So I want to leave you on this final note. If you're out there listening right now and you think that this is something that can and will not affect you, I want to inform you that I thought that too. I thought that even though I knew about these topics and I'd been debating them for the past 4 years through speech and debate, that this wouldn't affect me. And it was through the realization that it would that I only stood up and took action. But now we together as Americans, regardless of whether or not you've been affected, regardless of what your race is, regardless of your ethnicity or religion, we must stand up together as a unified front as Americans and fight for change because no one else will. Thank you. And the way you can do that, one of the best ways to start off this fight for our lives is by marching with us on Saturday, the 24th of March, to make our voices heard as Americans so we can fight for change. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, that was good. You know, I'm glad that they're reaching out. I'm glad that they got other people involved. I'm glad they see other people, whoever's instructing them behind the scenes and stuff. Like, the optics of it looks good. So yeah, I'm you know, proud of those kids. And like I said yesterday, I'm not gonna let the obvious double standard, which they seem to be aware of and speaking about, I'm not gonna let that stop me from really supporting these kids and wishing the best for them, because you know, if nothing else, we need like young people to feel involved because they are on the front lines in very many ways, and it's not fair that they are, and they didn't get it, they don't get a voice in a lot of this shit. But then when they're dead, when they're on the ground, when their friends are killed, when they're learning, you know, drills in school about how to deal with an active shooter, well, why shouldn't they have a voice? You know, I've never had to go through that in my school. You know, that's a travesty. So why shouldn't they be able to talk about it, you know? So anyway, good for them. Speaking of support for the march, Selena Gomez supports the march on Instagram. She said, "Protect kids, not guns." Yay, Selena Gomez. She out here supporting the march for our lives, Karen. Gotta give them props, right?
Okay. Did she say something else? Because I don't like it's most of the story.
Oh, she said something else, and I had not forgotten. Okay. Some of us have very long memories, Selena Gomez. Mm-hmm. I remember when Selena Gomez was dissing Black Lives Matter, talking about a hashtag not gonna solve nothing. I'm just saying, what changed so fast, Karen? What could have possibly changed so fast? She captured the post, protect kids, not guns. She was moved by this. She said, march for our lives. Protect kids, not guns. Hashtag march for our lives. Yes. Yes, queen. I feel you, Selena. I appreciate the support. But, yeah, when she was talking about Black Lives Matter and, she was tweeting about it, it was a little bit different, Karen. Can you imagine? I can't imagine why. But she said, there are more important things to talk about. Why can't people use their voice for something that fucking matters?
All right, we covered that. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Someone replied, good question. Why haven't you or Taylor not said anything about Black Lives Matter or police brutality? And then she replied, oh, LOL, so that means if I hashtag something, I save lives? No, I could give two fucks about size. You don't know what I do. But hashtag march for our lives. Yay.
Watch for the white lies, because that's the only thing that changed. White children got shot up.
Right. All right, Selena. I'll see you, dog. Anyway, speaking of gun violence, a Bronx woman was fatally shot by an off-duty correction officer who claimed his gun went off accidentally.
I don't believe him.
A correction officer has been charged after a woman was fatally shot inside a Bronx apartment building overnight. The officer claims his gun went off accidentally. The single gunshot woke up people who live in the building around 10:30 p.m. Wednesday night. The 35-year-old Marie Faye is dead on the scene, and the 42-year-old correction officer Elaine Samba was found with a gun. Samba of Ogden Avenue claims his weapon went off accidentally. He said he was cleaning it when it fired. He's charged with criminally negligent homicide. Building Superintendent Jose Perez said he was shocked to hear that Faye, who was a nurse, would ever be near a gun. She smiled all the time. I could not say one negative thing about her. She was a fantastic person. Her career as a nurse was taking off. I can't believe this happened. Yeah, I wonder if it was some domestic shit.
Possibility.
You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if that was, if that's what happened. You know, because once again, we talk about gun violence a lot of times. You know, people get so caught up in the optics of school shootings and workplace shootings and mass shooters and spree killers. Man, a lot of people are just killing like women, children, LGBTQ people,
marginalized people,
other black people, other white people. Like, a lot of people just killing they kids accidentally killing their parents, shit like that. Like, not everything is just some fucking motherfucker with an AR-15, you know. And I don't know what's going to be done about that, because everyone's just kind of agreeing on we shouldn't be killing people with AR-15s. I mean, that's too much. But it's like a bunch of other shit too, dog. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that, but it sounds real fishy, you know. And I noticed that American publications are not putting the officer's picture up.
No, you got her picture probably plastered everywhere.
Right. Her picture is all over the place, but his picture is not.
No, you're protecting him.
Right. So, very interesting choice there. Let's see what else we got here. I feel like it had to come full circle with the gun talk. That's all. So apparently there's this pastor that we've covered on the show before, because he be cussing. Remember him?
That dude, yes.
He likes to cuss. Well, he apparently has gotten himself in some hot water. Okay. Folks have been coming for his throat, and he isn't one to hide. He was recently spotted hugged up with a big booty Instagram model, and people went in on them.
Not the big booty models.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even the pastor like them with big booties. They like them thick.
I guess so. I mean, pastor gotta have a life too. But yeah, he apparently it was a video where he that was taken a few months ago. Where he went to a dance party and it was some big chested women there. Oh wait, I might can show y'all this on the screen, hold on. I mean, look, memories come from the Lord.
Come on, everything he made was good.
Mm-hmm. And even if it's like the plastic memories, I mean, the Lord gave us plastic to enhance those memory glands. I mean, what can we say? You know? Let me see. Oh, it's bicep, so of course it's gonna take forever to load. We'll just let it load. But yeah, I just remember him being a cussing pastor, and you know, he likes to get into it. Likes to get out there and let the world know.
People gonna be following you around.
That by all you sending motherfuckers and bitches and hoes. He has to let y'all know, okay? Jesus might have cussed. His words was in red.
Nah!
So that says anger to me.
I don't think that meant for cussing.
The Bible could be heavily edited for all we know. He could have been like, you motherfucking pharaohs. I can't believe this shit. You got my bitch Mary up here. She a hoe. Like, maybe that's how he was talking, and we just, you know, Paul or whoever was transcribing it.
We got the radio, edit. The clean radio edit version.
He's like, we got to sell this book in Walmart. We got to take all this cussing out, Jesus.
The kids got to read this.
You know Walmart don't like all that filth, flaunt, filth. All right, I'm just going to let this shit load in the background because, you know, it is gossip and it takes forever. We'll get back to his funny news in a minute. But yeah, there was somebody that posted on Instagram that got mad that said, when did so-called straight men start having a problem? Oh wait, hold up. This is his response to people getting mad at him. Okay. All right. When did so-called straight men start having a problem with a man laying his head on some titties? Wait, what? How's that? So now I gotta be gay to be like, you be cussing out all these people for sinning, and now you out here rubbing up on some titties and seeing kind of contradictory, pastor. Now I gotta be gay because of that. No heterosexual man could be like, that doesn't seem on brand.
Come on, just some random titties, sir. Come on.
A pastor is just a man, no more, no less. But in the traditional church, you have been taught that the pastor is not supposed to be manly, which is the reason most of them are sneaking around. I'm glad when I see a man doing what a man's supposed to do and admitting and having desire for a woman. Some of you are fake ass church folks, so act heavenly until you are no earthly good. Okay, alright. I mean, that's definitely one way to think about it. I had not thought of it that way. I'm glad that they brought that to my attention. You know, it could just be that we not used to seeing pastors keep it real. Oh, here's a video of him. Wow, that's a loud ass. I'll turn it down a little bit, but.
I say, huh? What? Shout out my OG player, Pat and Thaddeus Matthews. What's up?
He is on. There's a lot of titties. I mean.
Yo, Thad, you gotta put me on the show, Thad. DJ
Lionel! Bro, just a little story. I got to
tell him. And we gonna talk shit on the show, Thad. Yeah.
Why are they shouting the pastor out in the club talking about I'm gonna be on the show, though? Who is this DJ? Who is this DJ? How do I book him for parties? I just wanna know. You're like, now, Pats, I see you on them titties now. We're gonna have to talk about this on the show.
You will not be DJing my functions.
Negro Khan, too. We're gonna have to have this dude show up and DJ the whole party. That's what we mean.
No, sir.
Tell everybody business.
Nope. You will not be DJing my parties.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's good to see a manly man out here having, you know, worshiping God, Karen. Okay, this is the problem. This is why all them other pastors out here cheating and sneaking around is because they can't just get out here with these girls and dance and put their head on some titties and shit.
I do not approve any of this.
Okay, all right. Feel a little bit of judgment coming off of you over there, Karen. I don't know why. I don't know why. What's illegal about this? Why would you even have a problem with it?
I mean, pastor got to live a life too. I mean, but I can also look at you and be like, okay.
Yeah, feel like you hating a little bit. I don't know how you guys feel in the chat, but y'all feel like Karen hating a bit on this pastor just because he like big breasts and hugged up on Instagram models.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Oh man, he even got a picture. Well, he really is on some titties though. Oh wow, the picture is even worse than the dancing.
Right when you took it down.
Hold on, I'll put it back up. Hold on. Oh man, Thaddeus. Oh, this is gonna be a tough one to excuse. I don't know how I can excuse this. James Manning might have a better case. Pastor James Manning might have some words for this dude.
What's
wrong with you? What's wrong with y'all? You niggas are crazy.
So that's him on some titties. He said, one of my fans, Cookie, dropped by to meet me and get a hug. Who hug like that?
I don't know. I didn't know. That's what's hot in the street, titty hugs.
Also, somebody go get your grandmama. Okay? This your is great not aunt. Okay. This is not okay.
Got your aunt Cookie out here looking all crazy.
Oh, and he is all up on them titties, man. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. She must not have nothing better to do that day. She was like, listen, it's titty time, okay?
And I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm. She like, she came out of his house.
I think that some of you as men have a problem with me posting a picture of a fan who dropped by my office and I'm laying my head on her titties. When did men start having problems with another man laying his head on a set of titties? I'm a man. I'm a pastor. Yes. If your pastor does not admire a beautiful woman, he must admire a beautiful man. Please understand that pastors are men too. And you need to understand that when I'm on this page, it's all about business. It's all about marketing. It's all about branding. It ain't all about the church. I am a pastor who happens to be a television talk show host. So I don't give a fuck what you think. I like pussy. I like women. And I'm going to keep on liking it. Now, if you don't like none, try get some. You might like it.
Okay.
I
see that some of you as men have a problem.
I'm sorry. He's still talking. Go ahead.
I was not ready for the turn your Bible to a set of titties, verse 3, chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. Maybe them some of the lost books.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like that was very solid logic, and I don't have anything I can say to retort that. So, I thought he was just gonna be talking, making no sense, but that made pretty good sense to me. I mean, I couldn't find anything. And he likes titties and the Lord. I mean, who am I to judge?
Who is me?
Mm-hmm. In other good news, Taco Bell is now going to have sauce packet inspired tortilla chips coming to store soon.
What do you mean?
You know, the sauce. Mild, yeah. Fire, hot.
Okay.
They're going to have tortilla chips.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're coming this summer. So Wendy's worried about mixtapes. Taco Bell dropping them hot chips, though.
I wonder what can you get one of them Nacho Bell Grande with them chips.
That's a good call, Karen. They might need to holler at you. No, that's clutch right there.
I mean, you gonna do the chips, put them to use.
Mm-hmm. And they got the pictures of it. Mild, it says it was Fire's idea. Fire says I knew I was your favorite. And then they got classic tortilla chips, which I mean, who would possibly want those?
I mean, you get them from the store.
Yeah, it's out of the bag. Taco Bell tortilla chips are coming this summer. Now I gotta watch all the people do that fake thing where y'all pretend to hate Taco Bell but y'all buy the chips.
Nope. Can you only get them at Taco Bell, or can you buy from the store, or is it where you can buy bags? You know, because people might be like, I just want a bag of chips.
Yeah, I think you have to go to the store. They come to stores.
Okay, store.
Yeah, not Taco Bell, the actual store to buy some chips like you buy Doritos.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like at the store. Okay. Mm-hmm. But even with that, that's still an idea. I mean, shit, you making them, might as well send them to the stores.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I had one more gun article. I forgot about this. A superintendent of Blue Mountain School District is in the spotlight after telling lawmakers in Harrisburg his students protect themselves against potential school shooters with rocks.
And rocks you pick up off the ground?
Rocks, not off the ground. Every classroom has been equipped with a 5-gallon bucket of Riverstone.
Who did you pay to go pick these Riverstone? What teacher did they have to waste daytime? Teacher conference time and shit like that, picking up rocks.
If an armed intruder attempts to gain entrance into any of our classrooms, they will face a classroom full of students armed with rocks. They will be stoned. Hmm. I feel like he was stoned when he came up with this idea.
Yeah, I think,
He was smoking the rocks. Five gallons.
He was smoking dead rock.
Cause.
Dim rocks.
This ain't no David and Goliath shit.
Them kids will be mowed down. What the fuck are we talking about here?
They really will try everything except getting rid of the guns.
Correct.
It's so wild. Like, give these niggas some rocks. Then what? They get shot with rocks in their hands?
Right. You throwing rocks, you got somebody out here letting loose something that you know, throws 100 bullets a minute. What the fuck? That's not the same.
At one time, I just had the idea of Riverstone. They were the right size for hands, and you can throw them very hard, and they will create or cause pain, which can distract. So when one of these kids gonna hit a nigga with a Riverstone?
Right, and you talking about children. Fucking right. Children.
Helso says teachers, staff, and students were given active shooter training through a program called ALICE, which stands for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, Evacuate. And they routinely hold evacuation drills for active shooter situations. But if a teacher decides to lock down a classroom, there are rocks in a 5-gallon bucket kept in every classroom closet that students could throw if shooters got inside. Still, Helso says the rocks are seen as a last resort. We have devices installed in our doors to help secure them to make it very difficult to break through. We also have, we train kids to talk about barricading the doors. A teenager who is a senior at Blue Mountain High School said he and other students liked the plan. It matters because it will help protect the schools. Anything helps. Rocks are better than books and pencils. This is what we got our kids out here thinking about. Parents like it as well. At this point, we have to get creative. We have to protect our kids first and foremost. Throwing rocks, it's an option, said Dory Bornstein. But not everyone thinks that it's a practical line of defense. I think that's rather comical, said one college student. It's a absurd, arm the teacher, said a parent.
So now you can have the shooter shooting the kids and the teacher shooting the kids.
Helso says the district has no plans to arm teachers. However, Blue Mountain does have a maintenance employee who is trained and certified to work as a school security and is armed. Mm-hmm. The custodian has got a gun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does he get paid extra for that at least?
I hope he does.
The guy that has to put that powdered rock shit on top of throw up also slanging the heat.
Come on, got to go clean the toilets that kids done puked in.
Right. That guy, he's also carrying a gun.
Mm-hmm. The dude taking out the trash. Probably driving the school buses, too.
All right. All right. Well, good luck to everybody out there. I'm so glad I did not have children. I'm so glad. This is the things we are saying is okay. I don't know how y'all that have kids are not just every day waking up slapping somebody in the fucking face.
Come on.
Every day.
Going for the jugular, going, what the fuck is wrong with you?
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. All right, let's do some fucking with black people, guys. Mm-hmm. It's a very gun heavy episode today. A lot of gun news.
And bullets.
Yeah. Oh well. With those black people, we're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go all around the globe. We find different articles to make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100.
Ask, what are you really marching?
What are you doing?
Because from where I'm standing,
at intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. And y'all already got a little bit of a clip of a preview, but
oh lord.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I try to cue shit up, and it's funny. Whenever I cue it up behind the scenes, it'd be like, I'm not working. Fuck this shit. But then when I don't, it just goes,
it looks like a
march. Make it work.
So I have to ask.
All right, now, so there's a video going around on NRA TV. Not to be confused with NRE TV.
Yeah, those are two different channels.
My favorite show.
Come on.
NRE. NRA TV is apparently a YouTube channel for, you guessed it, the NRA. And they had this dude named, Colian Noir, who is a, black man who dresses in all black and he's very pro Second Amendment. He has a necklace that has a bullet on it.
Okay.
That's how you know he's down with the hippity hop.
Not the hippity hop.
What'd you say, Karen?
I said, so you know he down for the cause?
Yeah, he's definitely serious about this. Yes, he's 100%.
Is it dipped in gold? No niggas like gold.
It's a silver chain because he's a modest. He's not that type of Negro.
Oh, okay. So he ain't trying to floss and flaunt.
Right. No tattoos, obviously.
You know. He not swag and dripping and stuff.
He does have facial hair, though. He does have facial hair. At any rate, he does some videos and stuff. I've never really been peeped most of them. I've just been aware of him, through on the fringes of media that I see. And he's very pro gun and very what about the kids in Chicago type, dude. At any rate, he scored a big interview. He got your boy Killer Mike to be a guest on his NRA TV to talk about guns control. So hopefully, hey, look, we all figured, hey, I know Killer Mike has some controversial views, he's pro Bernie but doesn't care about reparations. He lied and said that Bernie invited Marissa and why am I drawing a blank on the other girl's name? I always do this. Marissa, and he invited the two black women that interrupted him, and I mean those little black girls, he invited them on the stage to talk and listen, and he just sat there and listened. So we've kind of got it straight from Marissa's mouth that is not what happened. And but Mike is out there carrying that water for Bernie. When Bill Maher made his house nigger joke, Mike was the first one to get on Twitter and defend him and say the real problem is you niggas don't bank black, and you black people, that's the problem. Killer Mike's also extremely anti-Obama and shit like that. So it's he's in a small group of black people in a lot of spaces. He's the vast majority of black people are supportive of the Obamas at minimum. He's not. The vast majority of black people do not fuck with the NRA. Killer Mike, I wonder where he will land on the situation.
What are you really marching for? Because from where I'm standing, it looks like a march to burn the Constitution and rewrite the parts that you all...
First of all, I want to see your hairline. Sorry, that has nothing to do with nothing, but the way he wearing his hat, don't y'all want to see his hairline too?
I don't know, we can't see him.
I need to see your hairline, guys. Okay. Okay, let me put him on screen because y'all should see this trash. Let's get the full effect. Yeah, I need to see his hairline because something about the way he wearing his hat seemed very deceptive. Okay, like the brim should not be below your eyebrows. Like the brim should be still above the brows, even with the oversized fitted. Not a fan of this. Y'all see it now?
Yes.
Yeah, see, something ain't right about that hairline. I need to see this nigga without a hat.
Like and crayon. No one can point this out better than Killer Mike.
Oh wait, that was a bar. I have to go back. Y'all have to hear. Y'all have to hear.
Burn the Constitution and rewrite the parts that you all like in crayon.
So that's a way of going at the young kids who are out there who are protesting when he says rewrite the Constitution in crayon, trying to be like, you guys are just children. Meanwhile, nobody's a bigger fucking child than people that are worried about having their guns taken. No one acts more like babies.
No one can point this out better than Killer Mike, who not only knows how guns can solve the problems society faces, he can tell you firsthand what gun ownership means to this nation's safety and its structure.
Close-up shots of the studio.
With everything that's happened, like with the Parkland shooting.
Yeah. Very tragic.
Very. And it, which, odd to me, I don't know why it's being done. You know, it's systematic.
Yeah.
But this idea that because I'm a gun owner, or I'm hardcore about the Second Amendment, or, you know, from that perspective, it's like, that doesn't mean that I lack the empathy or the ability to sympathize.
Not at all.
Yeah, that's not all. If anything, it's quite the opposite. Yeah. It's like, we disagree about how we both want to save these kids' lives.
Yeah.
Period. But somehow, because my method doesn't agree with your method, I'm a monster.
Yeah.
Or something wrong
with it.
That's
unfair.
You know what I mean?
I have worked as a tireless advocate on the behalf of children, disenfranchised women in my community.
Yeah.
And
I need some receipts. But go ahead. I like to.
I've also worked with gun groups like Georgia's Against Gun Violence that are not, you know, the most pro segment. But I say if there's a table to be sat at, the gun owner needs to be there. So I kind of try to see a problem from the whole perspective. And there have been things that you've disagreed with me. There's been things I disagree with you. Yeah. As friends, we've talked.
Yeah.
Right? But there was something dead on that the woman who's an NRA spokesman said. And everyone just kind of lost.
That woman is Dana Loesch, who is literally a racist. Like, there's no... She is a white supremacist. So keep in mind, they're about to talk about her in a way that goes, well, I disagree with some of the things, but them some of the things are not some just like, oh, you know how it is. She likes AR-15s and I'm more of a Glock 9 guy. Like, the disagreement is literally like, you niggers need to shut the fuck up and worry about the kids in Chicago and stay out of this. And I'm afraid of black people, and Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. And those are the things she says, but the things that he disagrees with, you know how it is, guys. Into this life, a little rain must fall for all of us.
What's her name?
Dana.
Dana says something. I don't agree with everything Dana says, but Dana says that the tears of white mothers are like ratings.
By the way, this is another thing that I find interesting. Like, you don't agree with the things everybody says, right? Nobody does, duh. But you still pick your allies, you still pick your sides, you still pick the people you align with. So you don't agree with everything Bernie Sanders says, yet he's somehow the guy that you go support, stump for, lie for. But wouldn't the same thing extend to Hillary Clinton? You don't agree with everything she says. When the same thing extend to Bill Maher? It's interesting who we pick is to allow to not agree with everything someone says and what gets yada yada yada. You know, when it's something like racism, I can't yada 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 that, and your black ass shouldn't either, but cool, that's your decision.
And that's so true, and it was so sad to hear her acknowledge it.
Yeah.
But it's true, and black people know it's true because black people say it in conversations in coffin houses to themselves.
There's a lot of people who think they woke out here will realize very quickly they ain't so woke.
You not woke.
So, number one, Dana Loesch said that the media is putting these kids on TV because white mothers' tears sell, da 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 da. I didn't see black people disagreeing with her. That wasn't a bone of contention. It was, oh, you're saying this just so you can keep your guns. That's what it is. And that's that context that goes missing in these conversations, because it's easy to misquote somebody or to simplify, oversimplify to the point where it's not even true anymore. People were just aware, they were cognizant of her agenda. And the same with Mike. He's going to go on later to say he's a gun owner. All these people in this conversation start from, I want to keep my gun. And they work backwards. And yet they feel like they're the rational one in the room, but you start from the point of the only thing that matters in this conversation is anything that makes it sound like I'm reasonable for wanting to keep a gun, even if it means that literally thousands of people will die in America every fucking year. Like, as long as we understand that I get to keep my gun, then I'll side with it. And to me, that's the real power of the NRA. That's the real power of this the politicians that carry water for them, the people like Killer Mike that go on there and carry water for them. That's the real power. It's not this shit where, oh, the gun lobby is so strong, they spend so much money. Nah, there's a lot of Americans who are irrationally attached to their weapons. And or the idea of having a weapon. There's a lot of people that don't even have a gun that are irrationally attached to the idea of I would like to have a gun. And when you fully extend that and talk about them, they say it's like, well, if the government comes down on me, nigga, they can blow your back out from their neighborhoods and never leave their house. You ain't got no tanks. You ain't got no drones. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, but it's that kind of, when you start with I want to keep my gun, everything else just sounds, oh yeah, yeah, white mother's tears, this is racism. That's the only time y'all talk about racism. Y'all talk about racism when it comes to Philando Castile. Y'all were silent as fuck. Y'all, so y'all are aware of the racial double standard, but y'all didn't have any level of like correction on your side. It's just whatever it takes to avoid the latest controversy. If it was a school of black students, they'd just be going, what about all the black people y'all kill in y'all community? If y'all really care so much, that's what they would do. They don't have to have a consistent line of logic when all they're trying to do is avoid responsibility.
You're not woke. Wakanda, everybody had guns.
Now, a lot of people have pointed out the fallacy in this, as literally in the movie, Wakanda did not have guns. I would also point out that Wakanda is a fictional place. So that's literally like saying we should have guns because Hogwarts had guns. That's a movie. This is real life. Actual real people died in life, not in the film of the Black Panther. You know,
and spears and everything else you need. Yeah, like you can't continue to be the lackey.
Yeah,
like people are accusing you of being a lackey of the NRA. Well, you're a lackey of the progressive movement because you
now keep in mind, one, they're not saying Killer Mike can't say that dude's not a lackey, as his comeback was, well, y'all are lackeys of the progressives. Okay, what's more of a lackey than literally having Bernie Sanders hand up your ass, going now you're carrying water for him? Isn't he the face of the progressive movement in a lot of spaces? What's more of a lackey than that? Than him literally using you as Dalla nigga to go out here and squash down black people who won't support him? I don't understand. What's more of a lackey of the progressive than to be like, guys, when Bill Maher makes nigga jokes, it's different. I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? Like, who's really being a lackey here? Because these, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of these kids are just, they're kids. So you using this time to be like, these kids are just lackeys of the progressives. Dog, they're children and their friends got shot. Maybe they're not so pro-gun as you are. Is that possible? Did the kids disagree?
Have never disagreed with the people who tell you what to do. Like, think about that. You have never disagreed with, you've never said to them, hey, hold up. Hold on. A football player just got shot by an armed white man for a traffic argument. A black teenager got shot by an armed white man in a gas station because he had played his music loud. Where were you then?
Yeah.
I believe we were saying that those people shouldn't have been shot. I think that was, you know, this is also the fallacy of the gun argument. It's always like, well, if those victims had guns, they'd be alive. That's not always true. Look at Parkland, the school that got shot up. Deputies arrived, they had weapons. One of them's on a golf court going the other way. You know, not like, and the other thing is like, even if you have a gun, you're not fully prepared for fucking combat, dog. This isn't the military. You know, like this, like I'm not ready to get PTSD for your ass, like for, so you can feel safe. It'd be much easier in this scenario to remove the one gun that killed 17 people than to give 17 more people guns. I don't understand how that logic escapes Killer Mike. I don't understand how that kind of shit can just like evaporate, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, like, is, and I do understand, it's because they start with I need to have a gun, and as long as you start with I have to have a gun, there, everything makes sense after that, right? Like, what argument? Well, more guns, obviously, duh. You put a gun on a gun, nigga, like, what the fuck we supposed to do? Give all the kids guns, get the teachers gun, put gun turrets on the school, fucking guns on the school bus, get a school bus driver gun, like, everybody gonna be walking around strapped like it's fucking Call of Duty. They're supposed to be at school learning,
right?
Have we lost that these kids supposed to be just doing like Spanish homework,
math,
right,
English, social studies?
The biggest worry is supposed to be like, does this girl like me or not, and will I get a good grade on this exam? Those are supposed to be the worries of school, not will I have to kill a person today or will that person kill me. But if you start from I want to own a gun, then yeah, it does make sense.
Where? Like when you went, like, start call, like, you got to do like a girlfriend when you list all the,
first of all, that was a lot of stuttering. I just need to hear it again. It was so good. It's like, this is the token sign of a rambler. That motherfucker don't know what he about to say next. It's all just, how do I keep my gun? Like, that's the subtext. But that nigga sound like Porky Pig
in a gas station because he had played his music loud. Where were you then?
Yeah.
Where? Like when you went, like, start call, like, you got to have to do like a girlfriend when you list all the stuff you've done for the boyfriend. And if you,
but that's all, folks.
Now, if you're not in a reciprocal relationship, why are you in this relationship? Because the same people I see dogging you out will be the same people I see posting a month from now says, why weren't you at our Black Women's March?
You know,
what does that have to do? Well, like, I've listened to that part several times. I don't even understand the mental connection between why aren't you at the Black Women's March and the, where were y'all during Jordan, when Jordan Davis got shot? Because you know who organized those marches for Jordan Davis as well? The fuck out of here, dog. Like, and then the whole, like, I know what happens is that he's been called out so much about his anti-Black woman shit that he tried to wedge in a way to talk shit about Black women organizers again. You know, because that's just what he does. Like, he had to find a way to take a shot. But it has nothing, like, these two niggas are having two different conversations, and it has nothing to do with each other, except for they can put Killer Mike's face on the front page of NRA TV's YouTube and be like, we got a nigga that y'all claim to respect, that the white Bernie bro people fuck with. We got him to come on here and embarrass himself. You know, we got him to come on here and basically sell out. But yeah, I just found that interesting, that whole, that passage right there. And you don't come to the Black Women March. Well, you don't though. And wouldn't that bridge start both ways? So why doesn't the bridge ever start with y'all niggas doing something and then coming to see, and then being like, well, y'all don't support my NRA march? Cause y'all don't go to that. You're not, Killer Mike done going to that NRA march. But he ain't going to that other march for a Black woman killed either.
And if you're not in a reciprocal relationship, why are you in this relationship? Because the same people I see dogging you out will be the same people I see posting a month from now says, why weren't you at our Black Women's March?
You know, when you have something for so long, especially when we talk about the generations that come into, even me, right? Some things with respect to my freedom, I didn't always feel this way.
Yeah.
There are things that I learned about and come upon them as time went on. But we get to a point where we're like, oh, why do we need this? We don't need this anymore. We're so progressive. We progress past this.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're gonna progress us right off a cliff.
Yeah.
You keep going in this.
You're gonna
direction.
Progress us into slavery.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with y'all? You niggas are crazy.
How, Sway? How are we gonna get progressive in slavery via gun legislation, dog? Are we gonna, is slavery coming back if we don't have guns? Is that how it works? Were there no guns during slavery? Is that a thing with slavery going on only because there were no guns that existed at the time? I don't, just trying to understand.
Like, you know, people say, oh, slavery can't exist. Slavery does exist now. Slavery exists according to the 13th Amendment.
They never abolished it.
The same people who are telling you we need to abolish the Second Amendment, they ain't there for the documentary 13. Yeah. They're not there at your march to end that. You know, that begins to be my question. Like,
wait, what? These niggas must be high as fuck. How does that make sense to both of them? How does that make sense?
Slavery exists according to the 13th Amendment.
They never abolished it.
Because not the part about slavery. I mean, everybody's seen the 13th. But the idea that the people that are anti-gun aren't against the industrialized prison complex. Like, where's the logic? When you see the Venn diagram of the part of the pieces he's trying to say, this opposes this and this is why you're a hypocrite. The fucking circles on the Venn diagram don't touch each other. They're way fucking apart. Like, if I think that we need less guns or better gun control laws, I am not also a person that goes, but I'm actually okay with mass incarceration for the most part. Those diagrams don't touch a lot. You know, like, what the fuck? Well, what was you for this?
The same people who are telling you we need to abolish the Second Amendment, they ain't there for the documentary 13. Yeah. They're not there at your march to end that. You know, that begins to be my question. Like, what is an ally? Because an ally is not necessarily a friend.
Yeah.
Right? It's not necessarily, yeah. It's not fam. We have a mutual interest in something that progresses us both. Yep. Why are you?
But wouldn't your alliance with the NRA be your mutual alliance? You're not friends and family. They don't even like your black ass. You just want to keep your gun, and they want to keep their guns. That's an allyship. And it creates some strange bedfellows, and it got you out here looking real stupid. Like, this nigga is playing you to your face. Everybody watching this is like, wow, Killer Mike is a straight-up coon now. But, okay.
Your allies not fighting your other fights with the same vigor you're fighting these. Like I told my kids on the school walkout, I love you. If you walk out that school, walk out my house.
Now that's one of the things I find interesting, because earlier it was, you're a puppet for these progressives. These adults are telling you what to do. But if his own kids were to be like, yo, I'm inspired and I'm going to walk out because I feel this gun violence shit is going too far. Well, you gotta get the fuck out of my house then. Now, what about that really sounds like, what about that really sounds like they're not your puppets, quote unquote. Your kids can't protest because daddy say no. Because daddy own a gun and daddy only care about that. He don't care about your life more than he own that gun. Like, he'd rather have that gun and you be in danger of getting killed at school every single day of your life. He would rather own that gun. And a lot of Americans have made that choice. Killer Mike's not alone. He is one of the few black people that believes that it applies to him. The vast majority of us black people know that these gun laws don't really apply to us anyway. We don't really have a right to own guns. Mm-hmm. And if you had a gun, then, like I said, NRA wouldn't say shit when you got killed by a cop. You know? They kill niggas just for thinking they had a gun. And if you kill a cop, your ass going to jail or getting killed. Ain't no, the cops had guns and I pulled out my gun protecting myself. Ain't no such thing. You know?
I'm laughing, but it's so serious.
That's simple. We are a gun-owning family.
Yeah.
We are a family where my sister farms.
That laugh of that black man right there was like the Dave Chappelle gift where he told the camera to keep rolling. That's how that felt to me. Like, I can't believe I'm getting this quote. I can't believe this nigga's this stupid.
I'm laughing, but it's so serious.
That's simple. We are a gun-owning family.
Yeah.
We are a family where my sister farms.
Like he did that black dude did everything but said, you said that. Wow. You just keep the cameras going. I'm not gonna say nothing else. Yes. Give me the quotes I need, Killer Mike. Thank you.
We're a family where we'll fish, we'll hunt, but we are not a family that jumps on every single thing an ally of ours does, because some stuff we just don't agree with.
Here we are. We have a march that's going on next week, and our biggest celebrities are donating millions to a march.
Yeah.
While our inner city schools over here are in deplorable conditions. We're donating
What about the kids in Chicago too, Karen? I mean, think about this. Y'all are donating to a march, but y'all won't even donate to gun turrets outside the school that could kill the people rolling up. Think about it. You gonna donate to a march, you won't even donate to a teacher so they can have an AR-15 in their classroom, at least a bucket of stones. I mean,
did they got from the River Creek
a brick something?
Might have, I mean, a little bit of algae on it. Hopefully they have algae reaction to it.
I'm supposed to believe y'all care about these kids, but y'all won't even take the time out of your busy schedule to buy them bulletproof backpacks. Wow.
Bulletproof blankets.
But I'm the bad guy, right? Because I'm not a sheep, okay? I won't let the white man own me, okay? That's I'll go on the TV channel of the white man that literally is racist, but I'm not like the rest of you black people sheep, okay? I'm different. Great point.
3 million to a march about gun control. Yeah. But yet we have communities over here that are in economic downturn. Like, it's ridiculous to me.
Yeah. Celebrities often don't know what to do.
Spider-Man came in the room just now and pointed at Killer Mike, and Killer Mike was Spider-Man, y'all. That's what just happened. Celebrities often don't know what to do. He should have looked directly in the camera like Dwight Schrute, like, I'm one of them right now on NRA TV, getting paid, getting played.
Told what to do. I had a celebrity, very famous, like sold well over 20, 30 million records, called me and said, hey, Mike, what you doing right now? I said, I ain't doing nothing. He said, could I call you? I was like, what's up? He called me. He was at a radio station. They were pressuring him to do a anti-gun thing. And I could tell he wasn't comfortable with it. And he said, would you mind explaining them and why you? And I said, very simple. Yeah. I said, you know, I'm African-American, you know, 54 years out of apartheid. I'm very pro-Second Amendment. This is why. And before you say, well, what about the children? My daughter goes to Savannah State University. There was also a shooting on that campus. Talked to my wife and daughter after that. The decision was, we're going to go to Savannah. She's going to get a gun and train more.
So when you ask, what about the children? Look, my daughter was on campus where it was a school shooting. And we had a conversation. I said, I don't give a fuck about your life. What I care about is having a gun. And the decision was, she was going to get a gun too. And then maybe she'll come to my side. She'll realize that having a gun is more important than being able to do stuff like attend class. Think about it. It's deep.
And after that, they said, Mike, we never heard that perspective. We surely respect and understand it. And they stopped pressuring him to do something he didn't want to do. And that ain't just guns. When, as a celebrity, they ask me, hey, will you do this anti-bullying drop for radio? Absolutely not. Why? Because your child needs to get punched in the face so he can learn to punch someone back. And that isn't saying that it's right to be punched in the face. That's saying as sure as you're an adult, something or someone's going to punch you in your face. And you have to develop the app.
I love that the NRA website, the NRA TV, has a problem with cursing. They blanked out fucking like 3 times in this conversation. But you're literally defending weapons that kill people and have been used to kill innocent children. But God forbid our precious ears hear the F-bomb. Oh, no. What would we do then?
In the fortitude to fight back. And that's just not in the physical.
Yeah.
You know, we are raising a generation of kids where everyone gets a trophy. But in real life, everyone don't get a trophy.
No.
You know, in real life, the cops don't come on time. You know, in real life, depending on where you live, you're not going to have the time to try to logic your way out of something.
Yeah. You're also not, in real life, we've been in situations where people have been armed and the shooter still kills everybody. They haven't had the time to stop, to pull out a gun and shoot this nigga back. Element of surprise, a motherfucker. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, that's a definitely 100. That I wanted to play that because one is everywhere.
It literally is everywhere.
Two, I wanted to talk about it in context. because I could have just talked about it, but I want people to hear for themselves that I'm not misquoting this man or anything like that. Hold on, let me go to the next section real quick. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Because like I almost didn't even talk about this on the show. You know, I thought about it and was like, well, maybe I'll skip discussing this, you know, because it's Killer Mike. It's already on brand for him. He's been doing stupid shit like this for a minute. He's, you know, he's one of those dudes. I mean, he's like huge in the Bernie movement, you know, that's fine. He's huge in, he was the dude that, like I said, defend Bill Maher saying the house nigga shit, but then turned it into y'all niggas don't bank black. That's just kind of who he is. Like, he says a lot of shit that I'm like, I don't fuck with that nigga. But I think it's important, if we're gonna talk about it, to play it, and to see like the propaganda at play, because the essential conceit of that side is, I want to keep my gun, and that's it. That, like, everything else around that is just, I have to advocate for more guns so I can keep my gun. So anytime when these tragedies happen, it's, oh, that's sad, that's horrible. Anyway, more guns, everyone. Would anyone like a gun? I like to hand out guns. And the thing about gun, the NRA and gun ownership that scares the fuck out of me is the ability and the illusion of people feeling safe because they own the gun. Because common sense, history, statistics, laws, everything indicates you are not safe because you have a gun. But it does make people feel safe. And it's hard as fuck to argue with someone's feelings, even when statistically it is absolutely not true. Because they'll go find the cases of, well, there was this one guy and thank God he had a gun, or else his house would have got ran up on. You're like, yes, that one guy did. But there was a lot more guys where their kid found their gun and the kid killed themselves or killed somebody, or they, you know, a person had owned a gun and was domestically violent and then eventually escalated to killing somebody. There's a lot more articles of, this person killed their whole family. This her strange ex or whatever was over to visit the kids and decided, today I'm gonna kill everybody. There's a lot more stories like that. There's a lot more stories. There's a lot more stories of police officers shooting people that, even if they would have had a gun and shot the police officer, another police officer would have killed them too. Like, there's no, you got to turn yourself in, or, well, we went to court and we realized it's just a big misunderstanding. Thank God that guy owned a gun. We're not going to put him in jail for shooting a cop. There's zero cases of that. You know, so this idea of like, well, if Jordan Davis had a gun. No, the obvious, easier solution is, if the dude who shot Jordan Davis didn't have a gun. That stops everything. If George Zimmerman didn't have a fucking gun. Like, if and that's before you get to mass shootings, where you're talking about, if this person didn't have a gun, 17 people be alive. Vegas, how many fucking people would be alive that dude didn't have a gun? But we, like, no one could have stopped that dude from the fucking shooting back from the concert to a guy who literally had a bunch of automatic weapons, essentially fully automatic, with that bump stop aimed at them while they attended a country concert. Who was supposed to have a gun in the crowd that was going to stop that? And we look at these things like they're hurricanes, like they're acts of God, but they're acts of man that have simply been elevated to an act of God because we refuse to do anything, and because motherfuckers sit up here and be like, well, look, if everybody would have had a gun, it's not even realistic. You know, like, it's just very wild to see, and very telling to see how people are able to kind of spin this shit with it. And it's like I said, it's very simple to me that it's about, I just want to have my gun. And if it was more complicated than that, then we would get more complicated solutions. And here's the thing, I absolutely understand how Killer Mike feels, and how a lot of black people feel about gun ownership. I know a lot of people that are super progressive that, you know, they have video of them going and have, I shot at the gun range today, I got a gun, I'm glad I have my gun, and I, you know, and they claim to be progressive in every other way, and they feel like very revolutionary to have a gun, to shoot a gun, there's a power to it, there's this, that, there's that other. And there's, I'm not, look, I don't really give a fuck about them having their guns or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like no one should have a gun, including them, but as far as like my feelings about them having that gun or whatever, I look past what they're saying. It's about them feeling safe.
Correct.
It's the same feeling that white people have with their unbridled, unfounded fears of blackness and why they have guns. Because they think one day we're going to wake up in the middle of the night and want revenge. So they got to all have guns just in case, you know, every bullet in America is sold with the idea of killing a black person attached to it. Guaranteed. But yeah, that is also an illusion for them. And they're my friends. You know, some of these people I love, some of these people I admire, I look up to, some of these people I look at their work, I'm like, that's dope. But they're just as much about the illusion of safety for having a gun. And the only reason that having a gun makes them feel safe is just that it's so dangerous to be black in America. You just want to feel like you have a fighting chance.
Come on.
You know, but that ain't right either. America should change. They shouldn't have to get a gun to feel safe. America should change. So that's the difference, you know. I'm not saying there's never been a situation. I'm saying there shouldn't even have to be a situation where you need to have a fucking gun. Like, and if we would start from the top down, maybe we could get to like Australia. You know, I'm sure there's less people and da da da, but there has to be a way other than this shit. These kids having to march about it, and other than hearing Killer Mike talk about, ramble incoherently about marches and all kinds of shit. And the saddest part to me with the Killer Mike thing is I know for a fact there's gonna be a lot of black men, a lot of black people who will a give him a pass on this shit, but two, act like it made sense. That's the part that's gonna bother me. It's gonna be a lot, because they identify with the rage, they identify with wanting to own a gun, they identify with the anger at America. I identify with that shit too. But there's still logical fallacies all over what that man was talking, and rambling and incoherent shit and not making the case. And he didn't have to make the case, because that black dude was just happy to have another black dude on there willing to be on NRA TV and say some shit like that. So he didn't have to, like, no one was there to question him and be like, well, why do you say this makes sense because it was in Wakanda, or this makes sense because marching with black women, or this makes sense because, you know, how, like, no one's there to question his logic. He's just there to get the quote and be like, yep, got it, you know. But I really understand the impetus behind wanting to be like, yo, I agree with him, fuck this shit, we should all have guns. I feel that feeling, but I also know it's just a feeling. It's not statistically attached to anything. The way that guns kill people in America is not worth having guns, you know. So all right, let's move on from fucking with black people. That was a lot today. And Karen, you didn't, I know I talked a lot. Was there anything you wanted to add before? All right, just because you don't want to even discuss Killer Mike, is that it?
No, I don't.
Okay, cool. Mm-mm. I just want to make sure it wasn't just something I was making up in my head.
No, you're right. I mean, what else is there to say or to add on? In 6 months, 8 months, whatever, he'll be back with another clip.
Yeah. I think it's that logical fallacy of I'm contrarian, therefore I'm smart. And I think a lot of people do that. Like, well, I'm in the 5% of people that think this way. Like, yeah, but that's because you stupid. You know, it's kind of like that thing where if someone came in this room and was like, you know what it is? Everybody thinks they're like fucking Galileo or some shit. You know what I mean? Everybody's right. Like, listen, guys, I'm telling you, the fucking sun does not rotate around the earth. The earth rotates around the sun. And then everybody's like, kill this nigga, burn him as a witch. And that's how they feel. Everybody feels like they're that dude.
When in reality, you're not.
Right. So, you know, everyone feels like they're walking around like that. And it's like, well, actually, you're more like walking around telling us that I can breathe, we can all breathe water. And the rest of us are on the shore like, nigga, if you try to breathe water, you gonna drown.
Yes.
And you're like, you sheep, you fools, you sit there and you stand on there like the man wants you to, not trying to breathe this motherfucking. By the way, I don't know if it was Galileo that did that. Let me just make sure that he wasn't, I think he invented a telescope. Anyway, yeah, point
I'll
being,
let you go out there maybe it was Copernicus. And drown. You good.
Yeah, point being, this motherfucker is out there like, I figured it out and y'all stupid and y'all try to burn me at the stake. And people are like, we not trying to burn you at the stake, dog. We're not trying to get rid of you or cancel you, none of this shit. We're just saying you're wrong. And this is, and like this NRA shit, they don't even like niggas. Why are you even saying it over there? If you gotta say what you're saying, why bring the message to them knowing how fucked up they are? You know, even Bernie Sanders wouldn't do that. You know, even like, it's just crazy. Even other coons don't do that. Like, even like Ben Carson won't go over there and say that coon shit. Yeah, like, none of that gave you trouble. We don't even have a counterfactual to be like, oh yeah, remember when this other person went on the NRTV? Yeah, they got them too. Like, nah, man, you had time, you thought about it, you scheduled this interview, and you did this shit to counteract the Parkland kids. That's what you did. That's a real thing that you did, man. Like, it's really shameful to think about. So, I don't know, dawg. It's just, to me, I don't see any difference between this and flat earth motherfuckers.
The same
concept. It's the same impetus. Y'all sheep. Y'all believe everything. It's like, no, we're just not stupid. Like, you believe in something stupid, dawg. Extra guns ain't gonna fix shit. Anyway, man. Let me, you know what? Let's go ahead and move to guest the race. That'll be fine.
Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, man. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we asked our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race, and everybody playing is racist. Alright. Alright, guys, let's get into this racism real quick.
Let's do it.
A man attacked the Golden Arches at Wendy's. I mean, at McDonald's.
Oh, my. I'm about to say, wait a minute.
I'm sorry. I made a mistake, Karen. Let's start over. A man attacked the Golden Arches at McDonald's.
Okay.
This happened in Oregon. A 37-year-old man said...
Was Ronald Dell?
The clown. He was clowning. This dude must have been inspired by that Wendy's mixtape.
Come on!
He's like, this music's so good, I'm gonna go fuck up McDonald's.
Come on.
A 37-year-old man, police say, tried to destroy the Golden Arches at a McDonald's restaurant in Oregon after workers refused to make him 30 double cheeseburgers, is facing charges.
30 double cheeseburgers? You taking all the lunch rush. What the hell is happening here? God damn it.
The News Reviews reports that police arrested Jedediah Ezekiel Fulton on March...
White! He sound like he comes straight with Amish people. That sound like an Amish name right out the Bible.
Sound like he gonna buy Killer Mike next mixtape. Run the Fools.
Oh, Lord.
On suspicion of second degree...
How did he get that horse and buggy?
Listen, Karen, okay? I'm trying to tell you. He got there by churning the butter.
Right, he got there taking the whip to the horse, and the horse rode him up there. We was in the drive-thru, and all of a sudden we heard this galloping, and we was like, what the fuck is this on the PA system?
March 16th, suspicion of second-degree disorderly conduct. He got arrested, second-degree criminal trespass, second-degree criminal mischief, and harassment. Authorities say Fulton became upset when the fast food restaurant in the western Oregon town of Sutherland declined to make his order. Police say...
I would have too!
Right, I remember when I worked at McDonald's, it gives me nightmares about busting a lot, and then now you gotta make 30 cheeseburgers in an hour,
right,
or 30 minutes.
It's something like that, McDonald's. Hey, if you'd have told us you was coming, we'd have got extra food off the truck. We not taking all our lunch rush and giving it to you, sir.
Right. Except for this guy. he was sure they would.
I mean, what was it gonna pay him in shillings? What the hell is happening here?
So yeah, he got upset because they wouldn't make it. So then he destroyed the banner and then he attacked the arches outside.
Oh, so he ran it over with his horse and buggy.
He also grabbed a person's shirt and a witness, and a witness afraid for that person's life pulled out a gun, but didn't shoot him. Anyway, Karen, guess the race.
Jebediah Obadin is white.
It's Jedediah, first of all. Jedediah Ezekiel Fulton. Let's check the third.
He white.
Karen says white. Duggar family director white. But he asked for extra mayo and no seasoning white. The real Hamburglar white. Oregon Trail white. Jebediah Ezekiel. There are no black Amish white. White. Rest in Greece white.
White. Not in Greece.
Feed the streets. This never would have happened at McDougal's white. White and reformed Mormon with two eyes. Deacon of the Amish church white. White made sure not to fuck with the Golden Arcs white. Missing out on 30 slices of cheese set him off. White. White. Noriega. White. Definitely white and barn raising party favors white. The correct answer is, and it sounds like you guys all got it correct, including Karen.
I'm about to say, he you was about white. To tell me he was something else. We about to have problems. Oregon too. On the Oregon Trail, and the McDonald's just happened to be on the way.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like him and McDonald's had beef. They, the police came and got him in the paddy wagon. I'm sorry, guys. I know these puns are kind of cheesy.
Only thing that would have been better than everybody. He had a little girl on the side with red hair, and they was in ponytails.
Mm-hmm. If Whitney was out there,
right? That's the only thing that would have made it more lit.
Mm-mm-mm. I don't think so, Karen. That doesn't quite cut the mustard. All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. Let us catch up with the rest of the show. Can't help myself, guys. Sorry. Now y'all in on it too.
Yes, if you want to be or not.
I don't mean to make y'all upset, guys, about this food. Really wish it was a happy meal. Sorry, guys.
Now I can see him getting mad if he'd asked for a shake because they wouldn't have had none.
The ice cream machine was right down. Oh, I might have said black then.
Right. Now if that was the case, I could see him fucking up the sign for that.
All right, let's go to the next one. A man finds out that celebrating his $96,000 settlement with hookers was a bad idea.
What? $96,000.
If I can't celebrate with hoes, then who can I celebrate with?
Come on. What services did you get? You better been having sex in the champagne room for that price.
Easy come, easy hoe. A Bronx. It said easy go, but come on, guys. A Bronx man who decided to celebrate a $96,000 lawsuit settlement with three prostitutes at a hot sheets motel lost it all when two gun-toting pals of the hookers burst in and stole the cash windfall. First of all, you had it all in cash. $96,000 in cash. You just walking around like that, like it's the third episode of Luke Cage. Are you fucking bananas? And then on top of that, you walking around with hoes like you just know them, like you not the biggest score of their life. What do you not understand? What, my god. He must have thought he ran up on some of them pretty woman hoes and with a heart of gold. That's not how any of this works.
No, it's not.
You are a mark, and their goal is to get the money. Victim Saul Matavilagas, who was carrying the entire sum in his suitcase, checked into the Van Cortlandt Motel of Broadway. By the way, we will be guessing the race of the victim, not the hoes. Street in Bronx around 10 p.m. Sunday at call for female company. Three hookers came over, had sex with the 30-year-old, and then suggested that they have a friend stop by with beer and cigarettes.
Mean they pimp?
You know, go good with this post-orgasm feeling of partying we got. We have a dude come by with some cigarettes and beer. Oh, you know what? $96,000, I can't afford better advice than that. Let's do it. Around 6:50 a.m., that company actually, a pair of masked, gun-toting men burst into the room, grabbed the overstuffed suitcase, and lit out.
With the women.
If he would have just had a gun. You know what? I think Killer Mike was right. What was I saying? I'm convinced. They peeled out in a black minivan and are still at large. I'm haunted by this, said Villegas, who had to tell the cops that he had sex with prostitutes and got robbed.
Right.
But $96,000, you really do have to give up on the embarrassment and tell the cops. I keep playing it over in my mind. I was surprised they pulled out a gun. I said, what is going on? I yelled, help, help. I was depending on that money to move my family. I'm nervous all the time now. I keep replaying it over and over. I see the weapon they use clearly over and over, and I needed that money bad.
You lost that money and your family, dog.
I hope he didn't mean like his wife and kids. Hopefully he mean like his grandmama, cause
I hope so.
If your wife found out you lost $96,000 from fucking some prostitutes, whoo! The divorce can't come fast enough.
Come on.
Cops released the photos of both the suspect, the gunman, and three women who are wanted for questioning. Police sources say the $96,000 cash settlement was the end result of a suit involving a car accident, but didn't have further details. Karen, guess the race of this dude.
Say his name again.
Victim Saul Matavilagas.
Oh, I want to say white women. White. I'm trying to repost it. 1 minute.
So you're saying white?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You guys guessed the race. Did you already ask them?
Yeah, I did. It bumped back. Victim song.
Oh, I don't know why I don't see it. Okay, oh. I see it now. Mm-hmm. Mero fucking it up for the BX Latinx. Latino, possibly Brazilian. Less Jesus, more Mero. Couldn't say no to the menthols and beer black. He heard about the black pastor who said he liked titties and pussy, so he thought it was okay. Latinx, Latino, 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 Latino. Okay, everybody's going Latino except Karen's going black. He don't bank black, white. Damn, somebody went white. All right, the correct answer is Latinx. That's for a lot of y'all to chat, but for Karen,
I got it wrong.
How could you possibly have missed that one, Karen? So easy. Mm-mm-mm. What happened there?
I don't know. You bringing $90,000-something, I figured out you had to be white.
Okay, well, you know what, I understand.
Man, that's a lot of money to be walking to have the balls to walk around with it and not worry about getting robbed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's my flaw in my logic.
He basically played the lottery with his money.
Come on.
His picture in this profile literally looks like he's calling his wife to be like, baby, I don't have.
No, I think that's a phone call he made.
Baby, you ain't gonna believe.
Remember that wreck I had? Oh,
you are not gonna believe what I had.
Because either way, the money was gonna be gone, but mm-hmm. you just have me robbed.
And he really went and got the like most basic list of prostitutes. Like, this is not $96,000 worth of prostitute.
Come on, we put ideas. Okay. We not staying at no motel.
Right.
there's gonna be an H for the hotel that I'm gonna be getting.
I mean, get your prostitute on, but that's stress right there on his face.
We paying that much money, we gonna be high class. They gonna videotape you going in and coming out. No ma'am.
He look like Benzino on Love and Hip Hop. Oh, sleaze, son. Oh, fam. You ain't gonna believe what happened with these prostitutes. All right, let's do another one. An ex-police sergeant gets 120 years in a Florida child porn case. That's open and shut case right there.
Right?
A former Florida police sergeant was sentenced to 120 years in federal prison for making and possessing child pornography. It included images downloaded on his patrol car's computer.
Oh!
But hell! Oh!
So the car walking around, not walking around, the car rolling around with porn on it? Mm-hmm. Child porn?
He's like, I'm gonna download it on the cop computer. Nobody will take the look for it.
I mean, did he use the at policedepartment.com email address when he set up these accounts?
I hope he had his chest camera on too.
I hope he got everything. I bet you that's how they got him.
Oh yeah, child porn. Mm-hmm. Zoom in. Oh, mute. U.S. District Judge Timothy Corrigan on Thursday sentenced him after a jury found him guilty of producing, possessing, and accessing images of child abuse. The federal prosecutor said that 37-year-old Kirby used his patrol car's computer to download child pornography dating back to December 2014.
You don't think the IT people gonna clean you gonna turn it in for maintenance, something like that? They gonna run through and clean it?
A lot of hits from childporn.com.
I know. What is happening here?
Keep in mind, a lot of this shit is like federally available if people like question the police for transparency. Federal prosecutors say that they also say Kirby used concealed cameras to film unsuspecting minors and transferred the pictures to his police computer. Prosecutors say he later tried to delete them. Live Oak Police Chief Alton Buddy Williams said in a statement that Kirby was a trusted friend who betrayed the public and his family. Guess the race of officer, what was his nigga name? Kirby. What was his first? Cal Adam Kirby.
Mr. Kirby was white.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they think of Kirby's adventure. White, and I hope he drops the soap. Oh, come on, Trey. Aww. Really? White, nobody told me I couldn't do white. Steven Copperfielberg, white. The Caucasity, white. Kirby is pink. Kirby is pink, though. He prefers to patrol parks only white. The correct answer is white. He's white. Okay, but also, he's a police officer. Who was he filming? Were it people that were in custody? Were they children that were in custody? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what cases does this affect? You know, like, what other things do you have to look at in this dude's history?
Were you falsely targeting children just so you could record them?
Right. So it's like, it's deeper than just sending the bad way, but like, what else does this ripple send down the line? You know? So, yep. All right, let's go to the bonus round, guys. Here we go. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2 out of 3. And let's see if she can go 3 out of 4. All right. I mean, we all have our doubts, but maybe this will be the time.
I know, right?
Maybe this will be the time. A mother crashed her car into a pole to prove to her kids that God is real.
Oh, okay.
Gwinnett County, Georgia, police say a mother intentionally crashed her SUV into a pole to prove to her two small children that God is real.
What are they with her?
That's a lot of pressure. I think once you start getting ready to crash to the pole, I'm a believer. Now please take the car back on the road. The crash and the 5 and 7 year old kids' explanation were all caught on camera. Of course. Warren was driving northbound on Peachtree Industrial Boulevard when she crossed into the southbound lanes and drove head on into a concrete pole, sitting in a police car. Children explain what happened before the crash. You think she did it on purpose, the officer asked. Yeah, because she turned, her eyes was closed, and she was saying, blah, 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 I love God. One daughter said she didn't want us to just have a car accident. She wanted us to know God, that God is real. Police say Warren told her children buckle up their seatbelts just before she accelerated to the pole. Warren was frisked and handcuffed right after she got out the SUV. Now here's my thing. If God is real, why you want your kids to wear seatbelts? I mean, if you want him to prove every, you know, I mean, you gonna make it easy for him? Just saying. When the officers asked the driver of the vehicle what happened, her first statement was to check her Facebook, and it would explain what happened. They found nothing directly referencing the incident on what appeared to be her Facebook page, but police say she later gave the same reason as her kids to prove that God would protect them.
We have over 200 new 2018 Ford F-150.
Sorry. To prove that God would protect them. No one was hurt in the accident, but I was to say it could have been much worse. Well, I mean, nothing but the Lord. I mean, you know what I'm saying? To me, it sounded like she was right. I think Karen agrees. By her silence, take that as agreement, Karen.
No, I don't agree.
Guys, if she is...
Nope, I don't agree.
Silence is complicitness.
This woman is crazy.
I have been told silence is complicitness.
I will not be silent on this mess.
So yeah, it could have been much worse. It could have been heavier traffic at the time. She could have hit the pole at such an angle.
She crossed the center lane. What the fuck?
But the Lord was watching over her, Karen. That's why it wasn't worse. Can't you understand?
No.
Oh, okay. But I'm the atheist, y'all. I got y'all back, Christians, today. Karen over here, she don't got y'all back. I'm the only one that can see it from y'all side.
No, I'm not buying that.
If it wasn't for Jesus, them kids would be splattered all over the road, Karen. But the Lord came down and he said, just hit the pole and nothing else, children. And that's why, you know, God exists. He's real, Karen.
Because y'all got a dumbass mama.
But thank God, God knew mama was dumbass. He saved everybody. No one was hurt in the accident. It could have been a lot worse. Could have been heavier traffic. She could have hit the pole at such an angle that she did more damage to the car. Warren remains in jail on $22,000 bond, but the Lord will provide it. Don't worry about that, y'all. She's charged with 2 counts of child cruelty. Thomas learned the children are now with their grandparents. Oh no. Oh, those poor kids.
You shouldn't get them back.
Oh, wow. Wow. Is that what you would have said to Mary after the Immaculate Conception, Karen? I don't think so.
Right. She would have to prove her competency to get it back, to get the children back.
Well, guess the race of Bakari Warren, 25 years old. Bakari Warren, a white woman. Let's check the chat room and see what y'all believe.
You said Bacardi?
Bakari, B-A-K-A-R-I, Warren. You're always allowed to ask for spelling. You're always, you know, you're allowed to ask questions. So now you're going black. All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Jesus take the wheel white, says Fine Wine. Twisted Evangelical Missionary Baptist Black, probably teaches Vacation Bible School every August. Couldn't reach back and give the kids a church pinch, Black. Ha! God said, I ain't tell her dumbass to do shit, White. Jesus whispered in my ear, let me take the wheel, Black. White confidence is at its fullest, White. What would white Jesus do? I told you so, Black. 53% white. I just can't even, you guys, White, Jan. I know you want to keep working here, so stay off the drugs, White. Killer Mike made me do it, White. God says, but her insurance company thinks otherwise, Black. Susan Smith, White. Black. Bakari, Black. Won't he do it, Black? And he ain't through with me yet, Black. The correct answer is actually Black. Some of you niggas actually did guess White somehow, the first ever white Bakari. and y'all niggas was wrong as fuck, like Killer Mike on the NRA TV. Y'all deserve all that boo. Did it show up?
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. Those poor babies.
Right.
Mm-mm-mm. How does that feel? That's how you find out the Lord is real. Mm-mm-mm. Well, good for those kids, though. At least they believe, Karen. And that's what's important. That we can all agree.
Kids almost died.
Mm-hmm.
And she could have died, too.
But they didn't because of the Lord, Karen. I think you keep skipping over a very important step in the story.
Mm-mm.
Well, Jesus came down to save them kids.
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Wow. Here I am thinking I'm the cynical one, but okay. A sword murder accused confessed to girlfriend, said the prosecution. It's a lot of stuff happening there.
I know, right?
A McKay ice user confessed to his girlfriend he killed a man with a sword during a botched armed robbery.
But the lawyer
defending Mala,
I'm just gonna say, but the Lord.
Well, that's what happened in the last one. But the lawyer defending Mala Owen Geisler asked the jury to consider whether Tyrone Tubby Bainton's death was an accident.
Black.
He was white, it appears.
Tyrone.
Tyrone Tubby, even.
Tyrone Tubby, white? What?
I think this is in a different country.
Okay.
Crown Prosecutor Caroline Marco outlined her case against Geisler during his trial in the Supreme Court in Mackay on Tuesday. Geisler, 31, has pleaded not guilty to the murder of Mr. Bainton, 29. From October 11, 2015. Justice James Henry impaneled a jury of 8 women and 5 men, including one reserve. Justice Henry told the jury during a lengthy address they were to coldly and calmly and clinically examine evidence put before them by Miss Marco and Geisler's barrister Tim Ryan. Mr. Bainton's mother, Diane Bainton, attended the first day of the trial, which Justice Henry said could stretch into a week. She was accompanied by Leanne Pullen, whose son Tom Pullen was killed in 2012 in an unrelated series of events, and a small contingent of supporters. Geisler was also supported in court by a small crowd who sat centimeters from Mr. Bainton's supporters in the aging courtroom's small public gallery. Ms. Marco gave her opening address, which canvassed the prosecution's allegations. It is alleged October 11, 2015, just after 6 o'clock at night, the defendant Mala Geisler murdered Tyrone Bainton. Mala Geisler attended Tyrone's unit armed with a sword, along with 2 other men who were also armed, for the purpose of stealing money or drugs from Tyrone.
They were gonna get something.
Mm-hmm. As Tyrone was standing behind the front door trying to resist Geisler and the other men from entering, Geisler thrust a sword through the front door at about shoulder or upper body height, which penetrated the door and pierced Tyrone in the neck. With the wound from the sword penetrating Tyrone's neck to a depth of approximately 17 centimeters, it severed his carotid artery and trachea and perforated his right lung.
Oh!
That stab wound caused Tyrone's death. It is alleged Geisler is guilty of Tyrone's murder, either because he intended to kill or do grievous bodily harm. Of course, or because he stabbed Tyrone with the sword, which penetrated him through a door, and that act was all in the circumstance of an act likely to endanger human life committed during the course of an armed robbery. Yeah, I agree with all that.
Right?
Mm-hmm. They probably could have got in easier if they would have just fooled them like they were friends coming over. Then, of course, they would have had to call Tyrone. Miss Marco spoke about evidence to come from witnesses, including Geisler's then girlfriend. Now, following October 11, 2015, Geisler's girlfriend at the time learned of Tyrone's death and he had a number of conversations with Geisler about it, during which Geisler admitted that he had stabbed Tyrone, amongst other things. Ms. Markle told the jury the door and the sword would be produced in the proceedings. The opening address from Mr. Ryan was significantly shorter. He said it is not alleged a direct application of force with a weapon had occurred on someone in full view. Mr. Ryan said the jury will need to consider three things in deciding whether murder has been proved. The first is that the front door of this unit was not constructed of hardwood timber. It was described as being a hollow core door. The second point is that no one on the outside of the front door was capable of seeing what was happening behind the door when it was shut. Nigga, you knew he was blocking the door. And the third thing is the nature of the injury that Mr. Bainton suffered, which led to his death, was determined by the precise position of his body in relation to the door at the moment when the sword came through. So basically, he ain't mean to kill him. Mr. Ryan added, an issue that arises was whether Mr. Bainton's death was an accident or as defined by the law. When approached outside of the courthouse, Diane Bainton chose not to comment. The trial continues.
Somebody brought up a good point. Mike in London said, are they going to produce the door? You know, the door probably can be his own witness.
Yeah, they are going to produce the door.
Oh.
And it will. They said they're going to bring the door and the sword. So I'm assuming, much like now. The doors in Jessica Jones season 2, it will have a story to tell. All right, guys, that's it. We'll be back tomorrow, probably. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.